Eric was night and Batu was day. The girl, Charlie, was the moon. Every night she drove past the all-night in her long, noisy green Chevy, a dog hanging out the passenger window. It wasn't ever the same dog, although they all had the same blissful expression. They were doomed, but they didn't know it. The all-night convenience was a fully stocked, self-sufficient organism like the Starship Enterprise or the Kentucky. Batu went on and on about this. They didn't work retail anymore. They were on a voyage of discovery, one in which they had no need to leave the all-night, not even to do laundry. Batu washed his pajamas and the extra uniforms in the sink in the back. He even washed Eric's clothes. That was the kind of friend Batu was. All during his shift, Eric listened for Charlie's car. First she went by on her way to the shelter, and then during her shift she took the dogs out driving past the store, first in one direction, and then back again two or three times in one night, the lights of her headlights picking out the long black gap of the Ossible Chasm, a bright slap across the windows of the all-night. Eric's heart lifted whenever a car drove past. The zombies came in and he was polite to them and failed to understand what they wanted, and sometimes real people came in and bought candy or cigarettes or beer. The zombies were never around when the real people were around, and Charlie never showed up when the zombies were there. Charlie looked like someone from a Greek play, Electra or Cassandra. She looked like someone had just set her favorite city on fire. Eric had thought that even before he knew about the dogs. Sometimes, when she didn't have a dog in the Chevy, Charlie came into the all-night convenience to buy a Mountain Dew, and then she and Batu would go outside to sit on the curb. Batu was teaching her Turkish. Sometimes Eric went outside as well to smoke a cigarette. He didn't really smoke, but it meant he got to look at Charlie, the way moonlight sat on her like a hand. Sometimes she looked back. Wind would rise up out of the Ossible Chasm across the Ossible Chasm Road into the parking lot of the all-night, tugging at Batu's pajama bottoms, pulling away the cigarette smoke that hung out of Eric's mouth. Charlie's bangs would flit up off her forehead until she clamped them down with her fingers. Batu said he was not flirting. He didn't have a thing for Charlie. He was interested in her because Eric was interested. Batu wanted to know what Charlie's story was. He said he needed to know if she was good enough for Eric, for the all-night convenience. There was a lot at stake. What Eric wanted to know was, why did Batu have so many pajamas? But Eric didn't want to seem nosy. There wasn't a lot of space in the all-night. If Batu wanted Eric to know about the pajamas, then one day he'd tell him. It was as simple as that. Recently, Batu had evolved past the need for more than 2 or 3 hours sleep, which was good in some ways and bad in others. Eric had a suspicion he might figure out how to talk to Charlie if Batu were tucked away back in the storage closet, dreaming his own sweet dreams and not scheming schemes, doing all the flirting on Eric's behalf, so that Eric never had to say a thing. Eric had even rehearsed the start of a conversation. Charlie would say, "Where's Batu?" And Eric would say, "Asleep," or even, "Sleeping in the closet." Charlie's story. She worked night shifts at the animal shelter. Every night when Charlie got to work, she checked the list to see which dogs were on the schedule. She took the dogs, any that weren't too ill or too mean, out for one last drive around town. Then she drove them back and she put them to sleep. She did this with an injection. She sat on the floor and petted them until they weren't breathing anymore. When she was telling Batu this, Batu sitting far too close to her, Eric not close enough, Eric had this thought, which is what it would be like to lie down and put his head on Charlie's leg. But the longest conversation that he'd ever managed with Charlie was with Charlie on one side of the counter, him on the other, when he'd explained that they weren't taking money anymore, at least not unless people wanted to give them money. "I want a Mountain Dew," Charlie had said, making sure Eric understood that part. "I know," Eric said. He tried to show with his eyes how much he knew and how much he didn't know, but wanted to know. "But you don't want me to pay you for it." "I'm supposed to give you what you want," Eric said, "and then you give me what you want to give me. It doesn't have to be about money. It doesn't have to be something, you know, tangible. Sometimes people tell Batu their dreams if they don't have anything interesting in their wallets." "All I want is a Mountain Dew," Charlie said. But she must have seen the panic on Eric's face, and she dug in her pocket. Instead of change, she pulled out a set of dog tags and plunked it down on the counter. "This dog is no longer alive," she said. "It wasn't a very big dog, and I think it was part Chihuahua and part Collie, and how pitiful is that? You should have seen it. Its owner brought it in because it would jump up on her bed in the morning, lick her face, and get so excited that it would pee. I don't know, maybe she thought someone else would want to adopt an ugly little bedwetting dog, but nobody did. And so now it's not alive anymore. I killed it." "I'm sorry," Eric said. Charlie leaned her elbows against the counter. She was so close he could smell her smell. Chemical, burnt, doggy. There were dog hairs on her clothes. I killed it, Charlie said. She sounded angry at him. Not you. When Eric looked at her, he saw that that city was still on fire. It was still burning down, and Charlie was watching it burn. She was still holding the dog tag. She let go, and they lay there on the counter until Eric picked them up and put them in the register. This is all Batu's idea, Charlie said, right? She went outside and sat on the curb, and in a while, Batu came out of the storage closet and went outside as well. Batu's pajama bottoms were silk. There were smiling cartoon cats on them, and the cats carried children in their mouths. Either the children were mouse-sized or the cats were bear-sized. The children were either screaming or laughing. Batu's pajama top was red flannel, faded, with guillotines and heads in baskets. Eric stayed inside. He leaned his face against the window every once in a while as if he could hear what they were saying. But even if he could have heard them, he guessed he wouldn't have understood. The shapes their mouths made were shaped like Turkish words. Eric hoped they were talking about retail.